Let me read to you from Acts of the Apostles. Let's just remind ourselves what happened, how it happened. Just a few verses from Acts chapter 1, and then a few verses from Acts chapter 2. Acts 1 verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, that's the Lord Jesus, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. That must have been quite something, wasn't it? You can picture the scene from there in that upper room, then out into Jerusalem. And from there, well, the work of the Spirit through his church has continued from day to day. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for that song, that reminder of the Spirit's work, bringing showers of blessing. For Lord, we live in a dry and barren land, a wilderness of a world, spiritually so often. Even around us in our workplaces and our family and home life even, there can be struggles. But thank you that you bring, Lord, refreshing. Refreshing when we meet together, but also refreshing as we just come in prayer and seek your face. And we come to worship this morning. We come to say thank you. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have not left us in our own strength and energy, but Lord, you have come to guide and help us, come to empower and enable us. Pray for our world and its needs. Last week we were praying for the peace of Jerusalem, and we thank you that there is some sort of ceasefire at the moment, but Lord, we long that hearts and lives would be changed, not just an end to the war. We pray, Lord, for your purposes to be worked out and fulfilled as you have promised in your word. Lord, for other needs and concerns, Lord, we again just turn these all over to you. We were reminding ourselves last week, you exhorted us to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. And so we do that right now. And we pray that you would, Lord, pour out your Spirit as your word is proclaimed. We just sang there that, Lord, there would be refreshing. Honor, come now and honor thy word. Do that, Lord, we pray. It is your word, and we are your people, and we want to hear you speaking to us so that we can honor you with our lives, with our service, Lord, in every way. So bless those who sit with us, behind them, in front of us, and grant each one to know your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Pentecost Sunday. What is the significance of this day? It's part of the church calendar, and I think it's a good thing that we have it as part of our calendar. We don't want to lose sight of the significance and the importance of the day. But as John Stott, a theologian, said, we do not need to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. He came on the day of Pentecost. He has never left the church. So we don't, this day, this Sunday, this 24 hours, in one sense, is not unique at all, because the Spirit has come and he is with us Monday to Saturday as well as Sunday. Not just one day a year, but every day of every year. Now, it's a long time since I've done a children's talk. I'm not going to do one this morning, but I'm going to mention two of them. And so if you've been part of us for any length of time, you will have seen these done from the front. They are two talks done on Pentecost Sunday. And so it seemed appropriate to do. And I know people have told me afterwards, often the children's talk stays with us a bit more because it is pictorial, visual for our minds. The first, and you've got to picture this, all right, is a glove with my hand put inside it. Okay? A glove with a hand inside it. But before I put my hand inside it, when you look at the glove, however decorative it is, however good seemingly the quality is of the glove, without the hand inside, it is lifeless and useless. What good is a glove without a hand? And there's a sense in which that is how the church was before the Holy Spirit came. That is how the Christian life can be if we resist God's Spirit. We need his life within us, the hand inside the glove. Because when we do, the hand gives shape to the glove. And the glove can then be involved in many and varied tasks because of the strength and the power, the movement of the hand. Where the hand goes, the glove goes. And that's what we want to be as church. That's what I hope we desire to be as individual believers. We want to be doing what God wants us to do, being where he wants us to be, doing things in his strength and power, letting him shape Rochford Congregational Church, letting him shape our individual lives. So there's the glove. Well, there's the hand at least. And the glove is here in front of me. A second talk that we've done from time to time as well would involve plugging in an electric fan to blow air into the church. And but of course, again, the picture is of the church making a difference, the Christian making a difference. But there has to be that connection. It has to be plugged in. If it's not plugged in, again, it can look very pretty, you know, but it will have no impact or no effect. I'm tripping over the carpet again. But I was thinking more about that. You know, yes, it's important, of course, that the switch is on, that the power is known and available. And that is the case. But still with those fans, they have dials on the front, don't they? They have you can have it on a little or a little bit more or full strength. You know, you can turn it up. And if we had the fan here, I would be blowing out air and the waves would be going out to you. And even in the back corner, you would feel it. You know, it would reach and have that ripple effect. And again, as God's Spirit works through believers, through the church, it transforms, changes. If we put the fan on, it would get ultimately colder. Let's just wish it was a really hot day and we wanted it to be colder. Okay, it would refresh us to have the fan at work. But it does need to be connected, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus is saved and is connected. But we do need to give our lives constantly to the Lord, more and more, so that more of his Spirit can be seen in our lives, that he works through us. We have to draw upon the power of God through the Holy Spirit and turn the world upside down, affect and impact the world around us. If you've got the Church at Home notes, most of what I'm going to say this morning is actually in there, not totally, but quite a lot of it. And I mention the title, Mission Possible. And I base that on the fact that I saw this week the film Mission Impossible number 7 is coming out next year. I didn't know they'd made so many of them. I've seen a couple of them. But basically that film has Tom Cruise in it. He's always up against it. You never think he's going to survive and make it, but he always does. It's mission impossible, but somehow he makes it possible. Well, that got me thinking about the early church, that passage that we read. How in the world were they going to transform and change the people around Jerusalem and beyond? As I say in that film, the missions are different every time. It's always a bit touch and go whether it's going to happen, but it always does in the end. But what of the mission facing the church? What of the mission facing our church? Is the mission possible, church? Is it possible? Can lives be changed? Can things be turned around? Can things be different? Can things be like they were before, even better than they were before? While you're thinking about answering that question, you're probably just thinking, oh, I'm glad I don't have to speak the answer out, because perhaps you're thinking, well, I don't know, it's getting really tough out there. So many these days have no time, no thought for God. So many are doing other things. They've filled their lives, trying to fill the voids in their life with many other things. But as we look at the mission of going into the world and letting people know about what Jesus has done for them, God has not changed, and the mission has not changed. Yes, there might be times when we think, oh, how is this ever going to happen? How can things be different in this situation, in my life, in my family, in our town, in our country, in our world? But the Word of God assures us, and we'll see from Jesus' own words, that the mission is possible with the Spirit's help. And that's what I want to bring to us this morning. A reminder of that, that the mission is possible with the Spirit's help. Now, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that verse I just read to you, is Pentecost, really, in a nutshell. And in it, you see four things. Well, you see many more than four things, but these are four definite things that I saw as I looked into it. The first is Jesus' certainty. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses. Not you may possibly be, if you're good. Not maybe, you know, with a good following wind, I was going to say. If everything just manages to... No, you will. It was a promise that Jesus made to them. Now, as we've said before, and I remind you again, the disciples really were a bit of a mixed bag of people, of men. They'd come back from running away from Jesus at Calvary. They'd heard about the resurrection. They'd seen him after the resurrection. But you wouldn't say they were really on a very stable footing, would you? They were up and down all over the place, trying to come to terms. And who can blame them? You know, put yourself in their situation, all that they'd been through. For 40 days he'd been with them. And then when it came to Ascension Day, a week last Thursday, he ascended to heaven. But he'd spoken about his return, and he'd spoken about how the Spirit of God would come upon them, to them. And so there they are in that upper room, and they're waiting, and they're praying. And how they must have prayed, how they must have thought to themselves, we can't do this ourselves. We need help. We desperately need what Jesus has promised. Now, when you look at the disciples and you see their faults and their failings, you know, you'd be forgiven for having a diagnosis that, well, I doubt the wisdom of leaving everything with these people. This doesn't seem possible, that a church should grow, that a world should be reached through the likes of these characters. But we read how the Spirit of God came upon them, how the timid became bold, how they had understanding, even of other languages they didn't normally speak, how the Holy Spirit worked so mightily on that day. 3,000 plus were saved, and the church grew in strength, from strength to strength. Like with the children's talk and the glove, the hand was in the glove. And it didn't really matter that the glove may have had a few holes here and there and been a bit, dog-eared and a bit worn out. It was the fact that the hand was in the glove that was making the difference. And there's a reminder for you and for me. Does the Lord just use perfect people? No. So there is hope for us. The Spirit of God. Yes, we need to give ourselves to Him afresh. We need to give our hearts to Him and ask Him to forgive us, that He might use clean vessels, clean instruments. But He will use us, that we might speak to others, that we might serve Him in different ways. It's the relationship of the glove to the hand that we need to focus on. If the Lord is in our lives, does He have control of our lives in every area? Is He shaping us, fashioning us, guiding us into what He wants us to do? Jesus was certain, you will receive and you will be my witnesses. Even if the disciples doubted, Jesus had no doubts. And we might look around today and we might think, well, this person's no longer with us now. They did a lot. This person can't do as much as they used to. This, we might look at what we are not. But can we look at what we are? Can we look at who He is? And can we see that who He is by His Spirit can work through who we are? The mission is still possible, church. The mission is still possible. Jesus' certainty leads to us to see Jesus' command. You will receive and you will be. Receive and be. There is something for us to do. The early church were in prayer together, seeking the Lord. It didn't just happen. It was supernatural. But they had to do their part. There is a partnership in this. They were to receive and to be. In other words, to take from the Lord and then live it out in practice. You know, if you get a present, and you get a nice present all wrapped up with a bow and a label on it, and it just looks, you know, how foolish are you just to leave it? The present is given for what's inside, not how it looks on the outside. We don't just admire the wrapping paper from afar. Gifts are to be personally received, opened, used. And so the Lord has gifts, has graces for us to take and to apply in our daily lives. To be worked out, to work out His will through our lives. Only when the disciples received the Holy Spirit would they be witnesses. This is true of every Christian. We're to work in partnership and cooperation with God. You remember how Jesus spoke with the disciples earlier in His ministry about them being fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. He is the one. And by His Spirit, He is the one who makes us the ones who have His power to be His witnesses. I read a quote in the week from a man who used to be a Sikh and became a Christian, a man called Sadhu Sundar Singh. Some of you may know the name. He describes from his own experience of living in the mountainous regions in India of the difference the waters make up on the mountains compared to down on the plains. And his point is this, that we need to spend time up the mountain. We need to seek the Lord. We need to go to Him. He says, on the mountains, torrents flow right along, cutting their own courses. But on the plains, canals have to be dug out painfully by men so that the water might flow. And that's true, isn't it? And basically, you know, on the higher ground, you see the effects of the water. And when we go to the Lord, we can see more of the effects of His Spirit amongst us. When we just try and do it ourselves, plodding along, it's hard work. In fact, it's impossible work. It's only mission possible with His Spirit. Because Jesus is the changer of lives, thirdly. I can't change a life, can you? I can hardly change a light bulb, but I can't change a life. I can point people to Jesus, don't misunderstand me. He changes the life. I can show them in the scriptures where, so I guess I've got a part to play in it, but he's the one, by his Spirit, who makes the difference. On every page of the gospel accounts, you read how Jesus changed lives, setting people free from sin, from disease, and from the hold that Satan had upon them. That same power is at work by his Holy Spirit, given to Christians in their service of the Lord. We are to be agents of change. We are not just to say, accept the norm, well, this is how the world is and this is us hiding away from it. No, we are to be in the world but not of it, but we are to be in there with his power at work in our lives. The early church began with all the disciples speaking in those foreign languages, communicating the good news. Note that it wasn't some novelty turn that they were doing. The words were coming out for the various languages around the area, and they were all speaking of what Jesus had done for the world. It's communicating the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And so there they were, speaking these languages. And there was Peter then, speaking before a big crowd. And there they were in the Bible study groups in the early church, because God's word was now alive to them. And they wanted to know it and to learn it and to share it. And it's still the same church, still the same. That's how God works, through his word, through the preaching of his word, through sharing, where we get opportunity, even one-to-one, that people might read his word. The fledgling church met together. And yes, great miracles were performed. I'm not minimizing that at all. And a healing miracle makes for a great testimony. But if people just go away going, wow, what a great miracle, they've missed the point. What a great miracle worker, what a great saviour Jesus is the point. So a testimony, yes, helps people to see that God is at work. But ultimately, God communicates through his word. Lives are changed, and Jesus is the changer of lives. You shall have the power, yes, and be my witnesses. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. We sing that hymn from time to time. And perhaps this morning you can perhaps just take a moment to think about that. What changes have taken place in your life? How is the work of the Holy Spirit going on in you? Now, don't get discouraged if you think, I don't have much of a powerful testimony. I was encouraged by these words of George Whitfield. The renewal of our nature is a work of great importance. It's not to be done in a day. We have not only a new home to build up, but an old one to pull down. How true. So you go along Hall Road and you see all those houses and you wonder, how in the world have they built them so quickly? I know how they built them quickly, because they built them when nothing else was there to start with. But if you go to somewhere where they're knocking down lots of buildings before they build lots of buildings, you'll notice the scaffolding goes up a lot longer, because they have to take away before they can add and build up. And the ongoing work of God's Spirit in each of our lives involves taking away the old and bringing in more of the new. More of Jesus, less of me is the way it works. But hopefully you can all recognize some change in your life that has taken place when Jesus came into your heart. Perhaps you were timid and fearful and scared, and you can have a boldness and a confidence because of who he is and the power that he gives. And then this verse goes on finally to speak of Jesus' conquest to the ends of the earth. The good news They are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, right where they are. That's where we start, in the family, in our groups, whatever, wherever we go. Judea, the wider town. Samaria, well, the Samaritans, as we know, were enemies. So when we go to those who don't believe, perhaps believe even in something else, we've still got to take the good news of Jesus there to the ends of the earth. Support mission. Support those who go in Jesus' name around the world. We can't go everywhere, can we? I know a senior pastor has done a good job on keeping us informed in many places, and that's been wonderful. And we can't lose what we've had. We must build on that. We must always remember it's not just this little, these four walls, this little plot. The kingdom to the ends of the earth. And through church fellowship with others, of course, across the globe, we can be part of a wider work, and we have been, and we must continue to be. In our giving, in our praying, prompted by the Holy Spirit, so that to the ends of the earth, the gospel might be heard, that Jesus might be given that rightful place, that every knee should bow before him. Well, hopefully you see and have been reminded this morning of the need of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, I'm just going to sit down and cry in a corner. But it's your life, and it's our church called to fulfill this mission. And it is mission possible. We are up against it, no doubt, just here. And the church at large is up against it because of the days in which we're living and all the rest of it. But God's word told us it would be this way. And God has given us what we need to fulfill the task. God never called anybody to do anything without providing what was needed to complete the task. And here's a classic example. The Spirit of God given that we might have power, that we might be witnesses, that we might speak of Jesus and show Jesus to our watching world. It is mission possible. In the power of the Holy Spirit. It is mission possible because of Pentecost. For only in the power of the Spirit will we see things change. You know, you can change, I can change more than we have. This community can change when it meets Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit. Hearts can be conquered, lives can be changed. Making people more like Jesus. Let me finish by reading Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled constantly. Make every day a Pentecost day. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, praise the Lord, yes, in worship by the Spirit, but also speak to others of what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he means to you. Always giving thanks to God the Father and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In our speech, in our worship, in our submission to God's will, just start with those three. What a difference the world will see in the Christian who lives this way. So this morning, Pentecost Sunday, it's mission possible. The mission is on. The task is still before us. Let's take the opportunities we have. Let's pray about speaking to neighbours and friends. Let's see if we can build again the work up here. But let's also be mindful of the wider work as well. Let's pray and support that to the ends of the earth. Amen. And Lord, as the echoes of that song die away, we come to you individually now with concerning our own lives, and we pray that you would indeed blow the wind of the Holy Spirit upon us, upon our lives and service for you. That, Lord, we might make that difference to those around us, that they might see more of you even this very week in our lives. As we have prayed, Lord, for the streets and the people, our neighbourhood in these last days, give us now opportunity to talk with them. Give us the words to communicate something of your love, something of the gospel, the good news. Thank you that you are at work in our world today. Bless your church on this Pentecost Sunday, across the nations of the world, for all who are true to you, true to your word. Lord, help them, Lord, to be fishers of men, reaching out, never stopping, but always serving, going on and going beyond, Lord, for you and for your glory. So hear our prayers, Lord. Thank you for being with us. Grant us continued fellowship now. And Lord, your blessing into the week. Lord, pour out your spirit afresh upon us. Lord, may we, Lord, not feel the barrenness and dustiness of the world, but go refreshed because we've been together in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.